Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you. Once again, I pray, stretch forth your hand and bless your people. Meet them at their point of need of God. And we release our children. I pray your anointing will rest upon us here and upon our children downstairs. And we speak over all our children, present here and absent, that all our children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be their peace, that they all will know you, love you, and serve you alone, O God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, children can go for Sunday school. And the and you can move to the front. All settled. For those of you are new and are not used to listening to the word for a long time, be prepared. We usually preach the word roughly for 2 hours because we are preparing God's people, and most of the people who listen online, by the way, are pastors. So we also a church that ministers to ministers. Before we go to the word, once again, we will trust the Lord to give us that single mind. God who said, give me your heart. The God who said, my son, incline your ear. The God who spoke in various ways in the times past to our fathers. Through prophets, through angels, in visions and dreams, but in the last days has spoken to us through his own Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him. We saw the glory of the Father in him, full of grace and full of truth. He is the one who prayed over his disciples and over all of us 2,000 years ago. Father, sanctify them by your truth, and your word is truth. And I pray, Father, even this morning as the word goes forth, every word that I speak that aligns with your truth will continue to sanctify us. And everything that is not of you will just fall to the ground. Your people will just forget it. But what is of you will set us free. To that end, Lord, we surrender ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's for Pastor Vijay. Seventeen days left. The clock is ticking. Right? We are all prisoners of time. Time doesn't stop for anybody. It keeps ticking. I can see the clock there. It keeps ticking. And all of us live by time. Everyone on earth lives by time. And one day, it will be said, your time is up. Though everyone lives by time, perspective is not the same. The Bible begins with these words, in the beginning. That means God was there before the beginning. So he lives, he alone, triune God alone lives in a realm called eternity. There's no time there. That's why he sees the end from the beginning. That is why when he speaks something and when something is written that he has spoken, we can stand on it because he lives in a realm where there is no time. There is no beginning there. There is no end there. So he has seen all our end even before we began in time. Below that, there is the next realm which is called the heavenlies. The beginning God created the heavens. That's the angelic realm. There is a beginning, but there is no end. There is no end. Christ Jesus, who became flesh, dwelt down among us, who was in eternity, who became flesh, dwelt among us. When he died and when he rose again, the Father lifted him up and he's seated on the right hand side of the Father. And the Father says, reign until all your enemies are under your feet. And once that is up, he will hand the kingdom over to the Father. This is Corinthians chapter 15. But all the blessings that God has already given us is not in eternity. It's in the heavenly realms. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. And the powers of darkness we are battling. You're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers, wicked powers are in those realms. That is why we fight to see our blessings are manifested. We need to understand he's already blessed, but where is the battle? The battle is there. That's why you cannot be silent. The battle is encased with your words. And all of us have only a certain amount of time. And the perspective is different. In Revelation 1:3, the final book in the Bible says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. That's why this is a very special book in the entire Bible. This is the most special book because three things are mentioned. Those who read, those who hear, those who keep, that is written. And if you actually do a statistical study of believers, most Christians don't read the book of Revelation. It scares them. Yet that's a book on which a specific blessing is pronounced. Why? Because the time is near. See, all the way from Revelation 1 to Revelation 22:10, the final chapter, the Bible says, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Time is at hand. So when we come to December, we are always conscious about time. But you should be conscious about time, not in terms of the calendar. Because we all are living in the light of one day. It is not the day in the calendar. That day is not in the calendar. It's not in the 365 days in a calendar. It's a different day. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, meaning as many opportunities you get, gather together as a church, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see day approaching. A day is coming. It's getting closer and closer. It's called the day of the Lord. It's getting closer and closer. And for those who are in Christ, the bride of Christ, the born again believers, in 2 Peter 3:12 it says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. The bride has a unique ability to bring that day forward by being ready. What is all of heaven's waiting for? Heaven is not waiting for Christ to move. Heaven is waiting for the church to be ready. The bride to be ready. And she has the unique power either to hasten or to delay. Because in the parables connected with his second coming, he kept on saying the bridegroom delayed and what happened subsequently. But here is another promise that the bride can hasten the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And the enemy is very, very aware of time. The devil is very, he watches the calendar. Very, very aware of time. He counts every second. And as time passes, he gets more and more angry. Revelation 12:12 says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has short time. That's why God says live by faith. Because when you live by faith, you are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavens. But woe to you who live by sight on earth, because he's coming after you. The perspective of time. The perspective of time. So understand, everything is established by scripture. This age will end soon. This age began 2000 years ago in Jerusalem. And it will end in Jerusalem. When this age began, the church age began, it began with persecution, where the believers were scattered. And it will end with the greatest persecution mankind has ever seen. And if you have to escape that persecution, in Luke 21, verse 36, only two verses in the entire Bible that gives you a way out. Only two verses. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Okay. Promises matter. Because it's, we stand on the promises of God. God says, if you are found worthy, if you are found worthy, you will escape this. You remember the first generation of the patriarchs. They looked for hundreds and hundreds of years. Man had sin, but the effect of sin was not powerful. Therefore, they lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. But by the time it came to the 10th generation, God decided, time is up. But one man alone did not go through any judgment. His name was Enoch. Seventh from Adam was found worthy to escape all these things and stand before God. So, church began in persecution. This age, and it will end up with the greatest persecution, the most horrible persecution. And the system is already falling into place. Everything is falling into place. Everything. Like when we had the pastor's conference, and this is a huge campus, and you have kids staying over here. And if you come over there, you will see you have to, the workers here have to, what do you call this, scan their finger. Others have to scan their this thing. You see, everything is being getting ready for it, because the system says, the Bible says, when the Antichrist takes over, nobody can buy or sell. You cannot be part of this system without taking the mark. And if you are left behind, you have to die to make it to heaven. The system is already in place. Everything is coming into place. Why is that? In the last current budget, the government of India said that if you withdraw or deposit more than a certain amount of cash, IT will send you a notification, because they don't want you to use cash. They want you to use where they can track you. It's not about black money. The system is getting into everything. But don't live in fool's paradise. The system. In Britain, the law, the government is bringing in, nobody can work in Britain anymore without a digital ID. The mark is already coming in into that country. And God says, you can escape. You can escape. You can get out of this. The church began in houses 2000 years ago. The church will end in homes. That's why we teach you. So that every home will become a church. That people can gather. Like in some of the countries where I go, it's house churches. They have been trained to handle, to teach. Hold them there in the midst of persecution. So the church began in homes and will end in homes. And my prayer is, every home is an ark. Because in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, the first judgment, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. May your household be safe. That's why we cry every prayer here is about salvation of unsaved loved ones. Because most of the congregation comes from non-Christian background. So it's interesting. You have parents who are not saved. Parents have children who are not saved. Sisters have husbands who are not saved. Brothers have sisters, wives who are not saved. So you have everybody. And they know that. Lord, the only book that matters is the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is not in it, it's not your goose that is cooked. You are cooked. And I pray every home is safe. When he came the first time, no one knew him. No one knew. But the word of God says when he comes a second time, every eye will see. So the simple question is, we'll all stand before God. Different periods of time. Either when he comes or after 1,000 years. Everybody will stand before him. 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says we must all appear. All must all appear. I would like to see Caiaphas and all their faces when they stand before him. Remember those high priests? The judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has. Everybody has to stand. The question is, how will we stand? The preacher who is writing this under the unction of the Holy Spirit in the next verse says, when I think about standing before Christ, this is this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. This is what he writes. And it is years and years later the revelation comes to Apostle John to see that standing, and he says, at the white throne of Christ, the skies fled, the heavens fled, the terror of judgment. But we don't have to be afraid if we are prepared. 1 John chapter 2, and now little children, abide in him, stay in him, remain in him. What happens? That when he appears, we may have confidence. We'll not be ashamed. Don't have to be afraid. That is the entire purpose within the church, is preparing our people. We don't have to be ashamed. Who can be confident when he comes? Comes. And this is the confidence we see in the last letter of a man who ran well. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, before his death, these are his words. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. It's a testimony, a real testimony written by God through a same man. This man finished well. The problem is we have preached the cross, but we forgot about the crown. We preached salvation, but we forgot we are in a race. The Father put every child in a race. We are so consumed by life on earth, and we are not actually prepared for battle. It's like the children of Israel. They came out singing and then wandered because they were not ready to fight. God said, take the land, it's yours. And they said, no, we are like grasshoppers and they are like giants. They were not ready to fight, though it was given. 8 times in the book of Revelation, 8 times. This is not about salvation. This is about overcoming. 8 times. Salvation is a gift. It's free. Those who have repented believe the gift of salvation. This is about overcoming. 8 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, he who overcomes. The final time is this. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He who overcomes. And then in the middle of it all, there is one scripture which actually gives you a clue. Actually gives you a clue. How do you overcome? Of all Corinthians, Paul will talk about discipline, self-control. In Timothy, he will write about other things, about patience and not getting distracted by the world, all about connected with the race. The writer of Hebrews will talk about endurance to finish the race, not to be carried away by the weight and the sins. Different things are mentioned. But one verse, if you were to pinpoint, is Revelation 12:11. They overcame. It's not he who overcomes. It's a prophetic declaration. They overcame him. Who is that? Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony and their attitude. They did not love their lives even unto death. That's why this man, Apostle Paul, the great saint, is able to say, I have finished the race, because his attitude you see in Philippians 1:21, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So last Sunday, we looked about the pain of transition. Transition is a very painful thing. Very, very painful. A baby that's in a mother's womb for 9 months, when it comes out, it is coming into a completely different world. That from breathing onwards, it has to learn. Everything is new. And it's a very painful process. All the mothers who pull their hair out is because they're trying to see the children transit where they can actually stand on their own feet and no longer dependent upon the parents, and they don't have to worry about them. They are mature, do enough to make their own decisions. But that period, seasons are very painful. Everybody, irrespective of your age, when you believe, nobody enters into the kingdom of God as an adult. Everybody enters as a child. As many as you received him, he gave them the authority to become the children of God. He's given you, I've given you authority, I'm giving you power. You are my child, now grow. This is where the church failed. They gave them entertainment, 20-minute sermon, and send them off, and children still remain as children. So in 1 John 12:2, I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you have known the Father. It categorized the three. This is not physical age. This is spiritual age. Children, young men, and fathers. To transit from childhood to young men, the thing is that you have overcome the wicked one. They overcame him. They have overcome the wicked one. And it says, how did they overcome? I have written to you young men, because you are strong, the word of God abides in you. They understood the word. The word of God is not ink on paper. They understood the word of, and it is living in them. That is why when it is living in you, it is your default setting that when you face any situation in life, when the enemy brings it and God allows it, your default setting is it comes out of your mouth. That's why the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So God takes the hedge off Job. The devil hits him with a perfect storm. In one day, this man loses everything. And his immediate response is, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible says he did not sin with his words. The devil is waiting for a response. Because unless we speak, neither does heaven move, nor does hell move. It's word that empowers both these kingdoms. To overcome the enemy, your words have to align with God's truth. What did God do in Christ? That is the blood of the Lamb. That's why we've been looking. So I want to finish that before we finish this year. Go to whatever the Lord leads to the next year. We need to understand, because we take communion, but we don't understand the mystery of communion. What is the mystery of the blood? In Matthew 26, then he took the cup and gave them thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant. This is the blood of his new covenant. What we drink is a symbol, but the spiritual truth in it is powerful that sets us free. He says, the new covenant into which we all entered, the old covenant was by the blood of calves and bulls and rams. The new covenant is by the blood of his own son. The old covenant, the blood has to be offered continuously, and the priests were forever standing and ministering. But in the new covenant, the blood of God's own son, he's both the high priest and yet the sacrifice. The priest offers himself as a sacrifice. His blood is offered once and for all, and he's seated. And the mystery, the revelation is in the blood, because the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And it's the blood of the new covenant. And so when we preach, when we study, our prayer always is this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What is the letter? The old covenant. What does it do? It kills. Because the law kills. The law says it saves nobody. Because the law only condemns. The law demands perfection from conception till death. Not from birth. From conception. That's why the psalmist David says, I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Because the DNA of my grandfather, our great-grandfather Adam, has been passed down. When Adam sinned, we all sinned. Adam died, we all died in him. So the law starts working against us, not when we grow, from the moment of conception. It says you are dead. Already dead. That is why the Bible says, we who were dead in our trespasses, Christ has made us alive. You need to understand the difference between the two covenants. One covenant kills. Law came through Moses. The day the law came down to the camp, 3,000 people died. But the day grace came, the Spirit came down on Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, 3,000 people got saved. One was death, the other was life. And every one of you, you all have your ministries, your groups, your whatever you do it. Ask God, Lord, make me a minister of the new covenant. I don't want to be a minister of the old covenant because it kills. I want to be a minister of the new covenant that gives life. And the difference is very, very wide. In verse 9, the Bible says, 3:9, it says, if the ministry of condemnation, what was that ministry? It was a ministry of condemnation. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, blood flowing like a river. And what did it bring? Nothing. You are still condemned. condemned, 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 condemned. But the new covenant is the ministry of righteousness, which is given to us as a gift. It's a gift, freely given. That's the difference. One was the ministry of condemnation. The other is the ministry of righteousness. That is why we have to understand, what does it mean they overcame the devil, or rather down, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. What does it mean? Does the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ mean? We look for patterns in the Old Testament. The shadow. The Bible says the Old Testament is the shadow. The substance is Christ. Everything was pointing to Christ Jesus. So if you read the Old Covenant and don't see Christ, you will die. That means you were caught in the letter. And the letter kills. All you got was the law. And you will walk under condemnation. So when you read the Old Covenant, read it with New Covenant eyes. So you see Christ through the pages of it all. You see the Christ. On Mount Moriah, it was not a ram. It was Christ. The Passover lamb, the blood that protected Israel when all of the firstborn of Egypt died, was Christ. When the walls of Jericho fell, crashed to the ground, and one small portion of the wall remained with a little house there, the house of the prostitute Rahab, because there was a crimson robe there, it was the blood of Jesus Christ. The crimson line flows from Genesis 3 all the way into the book of Revelation, because it is Christ, the shadow and the substance. And the high priest has to sprinkle the blood 7 times. And when we study scripture, we see Jesus shed his blood 7 times. The book of Revelation is full of sevens. Seven, 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 all through. Why? It's the number of God, of perfection. So 7 times Jesus sheds his blood so that we receive by faith a perfect salvation. That is why the Bible says, by one sacrifice, he has perfected all who are being sanctified. That is why on the cross he says, it is finished. There's nothing for me to do, it's done. It is finished. And what people, most preachers miss, is the first time he shed his blood. Because if you like the Chinese proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles, begins with a single step, first step. What happens if your first step is wrong? Remember the oft given example from me? A South Korean airliner took off from Anchorage, Alaska, many, many, many years ago when most of you were not even born. But the problem was that when the pilot punched in the coordinates, he went wrong by just a couple of digits. But it went over Soviet Russia. And they shot the aircraft down and everybody died. Just a couple of digits. It went off course. And the South Korean airliner was shot down over the Soviet airspace. Everybody died. You get your first step wrong, you will end in hell after attending church all your life. You get your first step wrong. Nobody is justified by the law. Be careful. Because what does the law? Law, sin, death, slaves. Identity, you are a slave. But when Christ comes, it is faith, it is grace, it is righteousness, it is sons. It's a huge difference. The mindset has to change. Because if your mindset is that of a old covenant, then you are a slave. You will never overcome sin. And you will always walk with the long face because you are under condemnation. You chose it. God didn't give it. But when you are born of God, your mindset changes. Why? You are a child of the living God. And then when sin happens, you look at sin differently. You're looking from the mindset of righteousness, says, this is foreign to me. I need to fight this. I'm not going to be comfortable with this. When I go to the countryside, when I preach to all these simple people, it's very easy to speak, to preach to them. They have no issues with time. They don't have comfortable chairs. They sit on the ground and they will listen. And they will laugh. And you tell them to sit down, they will sit down also. It's very easy to preach to the poor. And I give them the example which I've given to you also. You take a pig. Give him the best shower possible. But I hear even put some lipstick also, put some perfume. But you let him out. That fellow will straight away go to the dirt. Why? That is his nature. That's his nature. You can't do anything with him. That's his nature. But you take a cat. You take the cat and throw it into the dirt. You know what the cat will do? The whole day it will be cleaning itself. You know why? Because that's its nature. So the question is, are you a slave or are you a son? Slaves also sin, sons also sin. But the difference is sons fight it because they know that's not my nature. So first the mindset has to change. The mind, this is the mindset of a victor. The mindset of a champion. This is the different mindset. The only difference is the mindset. Goliath comes, he's huge, he's the picture of the devil, all like serpent, full standing, all covered in bronze, threatening. Everybody is afraid. Why are they all afraid? Because mindset is the mindset of a slave. And they're all hiding. They're all running. In the middle of it, a young boy comes. A teenage boy comes. What is the difference? His mindset. He's one among them. Unlike them, he's not a trained soldier. The only difference is his mindset. His mindset is not of a slave, it's of a son. So he looks, and he looks at the covenant. He brings it all into the picture. He brings the covenant into the picture. He brings the God of the covenant into the picture. He brings the blood into the picture. Because he's working on that mindset. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He didn't say Philistine. Because he brought in circumcision. Because that is how you enter into the covenant. Because when Jesus on the eighth day when he was circumcised, he came under the old covenant for our sake. Who dare defy the armies of the living God? He didn't say the army of Israel. He brought the blood, he brought circumcision, he brought the God inside, and with that mindset, David was already gone. Goliath was already gone. Because your words will determine whether you're going to win your battle or not. And that words are determined by your mindset. That's why we come for the hearing of the word of God. By hearing what comes, faith comes. And faith is spoken. Faith is believed. And faith is from a genuine, real hope. And that is your mindset. It's a mindset of hope. The hope of salvation. If you want to know how you walk, just put a recorder in your pocket and listen. At the end of the day, listen to your conversation. It's a very good exercise. So that's the first time. When Jesus is 8 days old, he is circumcised. Because in Genesis 17, to the man with whom God made the covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham. Not God and Abraham made a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham. He had given the sign of the covenant was circumcision. So Jesus shed blood, took the weight of the law, set us all free. Mindset. You need to make your proclamations. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What do they say? One thing I keep telling your children, don't engage into a conversation with the devil unless you're doing deliverance. That's a different thing. When you sin, don't go to the devil. Go to your father. Problem is when people fall, they're always in a conversation with the devil. And even when he comes to accuse me, I tell him, I got no business with you. I got no business with you. I go to my father. My business is with him. Pastor, what are you saying? 1 John 2:1. Little children, I write to you that you do not sin. And if you sin, who do you have before the Father? An advocate, the righteous Jesus Christ. Go to your father. Why do you go to the devil? Why do you go to the devil? My little children, these things, it's all written to children, God's children. It's not written to slaves. Learn how to handle, because if any man says he's without sin, he makes God a... So sons will fall, daughters will fall, children will fall, children will sin. But when children sin, who do you go to? Don't get into a conversation with the devil. You know the shadow in the Old Testament and the reality of the New Covenant? The shadow is this. Israel is in the wilderness. They're all rebels. They're just fighting with Moses. Their Jesus type is Moses. They're fighting with him all the time, complaining, grumbling. And a king called Balak hires a false prophet called Balaam to curse them. He says, make 7 altars. Let me go curse them. But when he opens his mouth, he's not able to curse them. He's not able to curse them. Only thing that comes out of him is his blessings. And Balak gets angry and says, why are you blessing them? I hired you to curse them. He says, I see no iniquity in Jacob. Is it true? Why? Because they are covered by the blood. And God says to the devil, you got no business with Israel. I will discipline them as a son. And he disciplined them for 40 years. Devil couldn't touch them. Devil couldn't touch them. Everything they went through was from the hand of God. That's a mindset. Don't allow the enemy into your life. Because if you go under the law, you give the enemy power. Because the power of the enemy is the law. Law brings sin, sin brings death, and he gets into your life. So even when you sin, don't think under the law, think under grace. I sin, but I'm still a son. I'm running to my father. If we confess, he is, and what happens? The blood of Jesus. That's what happens. The blood of Jesus. You don't get into an argument. You don't get into a conversation. A lot of people walk under this because they're in a conversation with the devil instead of talking to their father. All right? The prodigal son can sit in the pig pen and have a conversation about all his problems and die in the pig pen. But when he came to his father, everything changed. What changed was he came to his father. That's the only thing that actually changed. Did he actually, his anything changed there? No. Only thing he changed, he said, I will rise and I will go to my father. And when he came to his father, everything changed. And this is what Jesus has been talking about. He says, be careful, don't go under. Entire book in the old new covenant called the book of Galatians is written so that we don't ever go back to the law. The letter of the law. But we live by the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law. So it's chronologically, it is put across by God beautifully. The first thing, I'm delivered from the power of the law and brought under the spirit of God who births us in Christ. And then the next thing you see, Jesus sheds his blood in Gethsemane. And we know, he says, Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will, your will be done. Basically, he's setting my will free. Because a lot of people, their wills are not free. They are born again as a son, but the mindset is of a slave. So the will is still captured. So they are not free to serve God. The purpose of the will is that we serve God. But when Adam listened to devil, the will was captured. And for 6,000 years, how does Satan control this whole world? The Bible says the entire world is under the sway of the wicked one. Do you see the devil anywhere? But he controls this whole world. How? He has taken the wills of people captive. And we don't realize our will was set free in Gethsemane to serve God. Will is set free. And you have to believe it. Because the only thing ultimately what matters is, did you do my will? That's why he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All these prayers are to the new covenant people, not the old covenant people. Because the old covenant people, nobody calls God Father. Not even Moses. The new covenant teaches us to pray. The first thing is identity. Do you know who you are? You are my child. So pray like this. My Father. Our Father. Your kingdom. Your will. So I'm a son. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. What did the blood do? It tells me I am a son. What did the blood say? The blood says my will is free to serve God. After the fall, will and work came together. God cursed and says, cursed is the ground by the sweat, because you were sweating blood. By sweat and by the toil, you will eat, eat, eat. When the new covenant begins, Jesus turns around and says, don't worry about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. Pagans run after those things, but you have a father. You have a father. So what should children do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things shall be added unto you. And the problem is, if you don't understand, what happens is this. The kingdom of God is defined by two things. One, everybody is called to be a witness. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. You're called to be a witness. Second, this gospel of the kingdom shall go to the ends of the world. So it is called by two things. One, by witnessing where you are. Two, when God tells you to move, move. But if your provision is connected to your work, you will not move. You will not move. Because you are scared to move. How will I go? If I go, how will I live? What will I do? And you know, 90% or more of Christians have never moved in their life according to the will of God, because they are trapped. The wills are trapped because they do not realize provision has been detached. Now he takes care. That's what the final, one of the final questions of Jesus Christ to the 12 disciples, the 11 of them, he says, when I sent you without anything, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. So the first thing is, movement doesn't take place. If God wants you in Hyderabad and you are sitting in Varanasi, you will not move. And God wants you in Varanasi, but you are comfortable in your job in Hyderabad, even if he tells you, you will not move because you are afraid. You are afraid. Movement doesn't take place. Next thing. If your provision is connected to your work, that's your mindset, you will not witness in your workplace because you are scared. You lose your job. And it's getting more and more and more and more tough to be a witness with all these LGBTQXYWZ. No, all these things came in. You cannot even make an opinion known. Think about it. In China, everybody is hooked to the system. And the cameras are watching every movement. And you are grading according to the government. According to the government, if a grading goes down, your social welfare goes down. How do you witness in that country? Yet the most powerful church in the world is in that country. Because they are not hooked to the system. They are witnesses. They are not afraid. This is the problem. So if you don't understand this, you stand before God, and you stand before God and God says, okay, judgment seat. What did you do? No, I led a good life. Good life? He said the Hindu next and the Muslim was better than you. What good life are you taking? Did you do my will? Because in the kingdom of God, only one thing, in a kingdom, only one thing matters. It is the will of the king. It's the will of the king. You need to understand, nobody's talking about a good life. You're talking about a sanctified life. That's a completely different thing. Be holy as I am holy. In religion, what is the grading? On what parameters do you judge holiness in any religion? What's the parameter? Laws. In the kingdom, no. Be holy as I am holy. So please understand why we are talking about, because that day is approaching closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And the Bible in Hebrews 6:2 says it is eternal judgment, meaning it cannot be changed. I stand before God and I realize the fire is eating away all my works, all I have got, my salvation, and nothing else for eternity. And I look and say, Lord, 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 please give me another chance. God says, there are no second chances here. You're outside time. Time was given for chances. There are no chances here. You have moved into a different realm. There are no chances here. When Satan and one third of the angels fell, they were cast out forever. Because in that realm, there is no time. So time is a blessing. That's where the Apostle Paul will say, redeem the time. Walk circumspectly. Why? Redeem the time. The days are evil. How do I redeem the time? Being wise and knowing the will of God. And why is this after Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived, was Apostle Paul? Why? Take his letters. We don't have anything left. The church for 2,000 years is written by the mystery of the kingdom revealed through a man called Apostle Paul. Why? Because his first question at his encounter with Jesus Christ was, who are you? Second question, what do you want me to do? Most people are scared to ask that question because they are scared you may get an answer. So I'm out of the law. I'm a chance son, and as a son, I need to know what is my father's will. Father, I just want to keep your name holy. Why? I don't have a name. Now everybody calls me Pastor James. Do you know that is not my name? That's my father's name. James is not my name. That's my father's name. Christian is not your name. It's his name. That is what it means, hallowed be his name. Please know, he's saying, you have only one identity. What is that? Christian. You see, every time Joseph stood for something that was righteous, what was the complaint? This Hebrew. Because that was his identity. They didn't say Joseph, they said Hebrew. Why? Hebrew was the identity of people belonging to God, the ones who crossed the river. Hebrew means the one who crossed the river is never going back. He's crossed the river, aligned himself with God, and he's never going back. That's why the writer in Hebrews 11 says, if they wanted, they could have gone back, but they did not. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Identity was always Hebrew. And even when he rose to the highest place next to the king, the brothers come over there. They see him sitting alone and eating because Egyptians don't eat with Hebrews. And this Hebrew refused to be an Egyptian. Kept his identity. That is what it means. Hallowed be thy name. Because we have no other name. We have only one name. All of us have only one name. We were baptized into his name. We don't have separate identities. We have only one identity. I belong to him. That's identity. And then your kingdom, your will. So this is how it chronologically follows. So here I am. I'm a son. I'm seeking his will. And then to do his will on earth, I have only this body. Only this body. Why are you all here? Because you care. How do I know you're here? Because I see your bodies. How do I know who is watching online? I don't know. Because I can't see the bodies. But I can see all of you because your bodies are present. Minds, I don't know. But bodies are present. Bodies are present. So how do I serve God? With this body. So the third time he sheds his blood is that John 19:1, Pilate gave him over to be scourged. Scourged. Why was he scourged? Because sin, death, in between comes everything. Sickness, infirmity, poverty, curses, everything is between sin and death. How do I serve God if I am infirm? How do I serve? Yesterday I told the pastors, what happened? I am ready and then I wake up in the morning, I got temperature of 104 degrees, I cannot get up from the bed, all the pastors have come, almost 100 pastors have come, you have come from everywhere. What happens? I tell Pastor Vijay, I am sorry pastor, would you please take the meeting for me? And he will say, pastor, I am not prepared. Because he was not told. This is what happens to most believers. What happens is that their bodies are not able to serve God. So the third thing is, the Bible says in the entire book of Isaiah 53, talks about, he took our infirmities and diseases upon himself, and by his stripes we were healed. Each of this is by his blood, and each of this has to come from your mouth. Because when you were right, you have God has called you to do something, you have to go there to do something, and then you wake up in the morning, it has happened to me so many times, at the point when I have to go, at that time, you are not even able to, so you're burning with fever. I remember one time, I was in Tezpur, I had to go to Lakhimpur, the other end of India, almost near the Burmese border. And I reached there, go by bus, I reached there, it was a Christmas program, it was the entire field, all the Christians had come together, and I was the main speaker. But thank God for this, me not thank God, I don't like it, they have so many programs in the beginning, you know. So the programs were over, I was burning with fever, and I was just shaking over there. And then they said, our speaker has come, now he will come to speak. And I said, Lord, I believe. You know what happened? As I got up, the anointing hit and the fever left. The next 1.5 hours, I was standing there and speaking to the crowd. What do you do? That's why the Bible says, the body for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Even when Jesus says in the volume of the book, it is written about me, O Lord, I have come to do your will. That is Hebrews 10:7. But 5 says, a body you prepared for me. That is why Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies. Offer your bodies. Holy, accept. This is a reasonable act of this thing. Give it whatever, wherever you are working. Please don't forget who you are. By birth, you are a child of God. Born again by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. Before God, you have two functions. You function as a king under him and as a priest under him. As a king, kings make proclamations. So every morning, be sure you make your proclamations. Kings don't work, they only make proclamations. That is the job of the king. And what is our job? To repeat what he has proclaimed. We don't make proclamations of our own because we don't have independent authority. We speak what he has spoken. That is how Jesus is defeating the enemy. Enemy says, if you are the son of God, because a little earlier God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So first question is the identity. If you are the son of God, I just heard, then make the stones into bread. He says, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. So kings make proclamations. What do priests do? Priests make intercession. So before God, I have a function. I make proclamations. I make intercessions. But with people in the world, what is my profile? Wherever you are, Lord, I am your ambassador to reconcile people back to you. When they see my life, if even I'm not allowed to open my mouth in my company, everybody is a non-believer and strictly prohibited, no proselytizing, yet Lord, let me be a witness. That was how I, 25 years ago, I worked in a country where I had to sign no proselytizing. It's not allowed. Christianity is not allowed. By the time I left, I baptized my students and I left. Because the gospel cannot be muzzled. Cannot be muzzled. Because what did you do? You didn't do anything. You taught Shakespeare and gave them the gospel. Lord, make me a witness. I'm your ambassador. That is your job profile. The will has been set free. My body, every day I receive for my body. My daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Who asks for daily bread? Only children ask. Do you know that? Children never ask for tomorrow. Will Satpal come and say, Mommy, give me tomorrow's breakfast? No. It's what's wrong with you? Take today's breakfast. And when you have a father, you don't ask for tomorrow's breakfast. You ask for today's breakfast. What did he say? Daily bread. But most Christians have stored bread for next year also. But they have so much faith in God. Yet when the Canaanite woman came and said, Son of David, have mercy, he refused to speak to her. Why? She called him by the wrong name. She has no identity to call him Son of David. She's not a Jew, she's a Canaanite. He never responded, though he's the most compassionate man who ever walked on earth. Yet when she turned her address and Lord, he turned and said, she's asking for healing for her daughter. He said, bread on the table are for the children. What did he call healing? Bread. Not for the children. Are you a child of God? Did you think that daily bread was healing also? And strength to do his will? Give us this day, Lord. Lord, I'm not asking for strength for tomorrow. I'm asking for strength for today. Whatever you want me to do. I'm asking for healing for today. I'm asking for strength for today. This is how they overcame the enemy. By the word of their mouth. But in the process of God, as I stand as a witness, I will not shrink back even from death. If I have to die preaching the gospel, I will die preaching the gospel. I'm not a wuss. Not afraid of death, because for me death is gain, because I'm going home. And everybody likes going home, unless it's a miserable home. So this is what is happening. Chronological order, if you look at it, identity, will, body, the next thing you will see is that, put a crown of thorns into his head. His mind is being set free. He's bleeding from his head. And our minds are being set free. Because what is Romans 12:2? Do not conform to the pattern of the world. The world has a thousand different ways to handle situation. God has only one way. That is why it is called a narrow way. Narrow way. It's only a renewed mind that can understand the will of God. Not even understand the will of God. Accept the will of God. The old mind won't. Because it's afraid. But before that comes in, the first thing that comes in is not your thinking. Your thinking cannot change. Because the first thing that comes is attitude. Because to receive anything from God, the first thing that matters is attitude. So Jesus did not say, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me the real interpretation of the Torah. He didn't say that. He says, learn from me. I am meek and lowly. The first thing you have to learn from me is get my attitude. Get my attitude. Do you know why I know the word of God? Though I was born in the flesh and I emptied myself all the glory, I came empty, was conceived in Mary's womb, and I came out as a baby. You know why I know the word and I know every word I speak is true? You know why? Because morning by morning he awakened me. And I did not rebel. My father, the spirit, taught me the very word I gave to Moses is because I was meek and lowly. In the world, you do not need humility to learn any subject. The proud learn better. Do you know in the world, the proud learn better? You know what proud exam time comes. You see, this is, see, before I got saved, I was proud. Okay, because it's natural. We are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That iniquity is pride. Because pride is what caused him to do everything in heaven. So what happened is that every English paper, the English teacher has an issue with me. I don't know what he had. I still remember his name. Poor man passed away. His name is Isaac Matthew. I'm talking from school days, okay, 1970s. He will always give me one mark less than the topper. And this guy who read around 10,000 books before he finished 15 years old is upset. Because he won't give me. So I said, I will show you. Not with this, I will show you, I will prove. I'll show you. What is that pride? So state board exam came, English this thing came, and I looked at my mark and I was first in the whole state. And he's coming, I'm so proud of you, son. I wanted to tell you, I'm very proud of myself. So in the world, pride works. People really, 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 this thing, you know, I'm going to prove myself, I want to prove myself, I want to prove myself. What is that pride? The kingdom, it is opposite. If you prove yourself, he will not speak to you. That is why he said, don't conform to the pattern of the world, because the kingdom is upside down. Everywhere it is upside down. It's upside down. So that's the first thing you need to understand. It's attitude. So in Philippians 2:5 is talking about attitude. Let this mind, NIV will say, have this attitude that was also in Jesus Christ. From attitude to obedience, you need to have it. So Philippians 2:8 will say, what is that? Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became more obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. This is a mind. What is that? I will humble myself and I will obey God even if it costs my life. It's God's hand that is over Joseph. He's a slave. When he so says no to Potiphar's wife, he's playing with his life. When Daniel said, let me not eat this, he is risking his life. Daniel's three friends said, we will not bow. They're looking at execution. When Daniel said, I will pray, he's looking at the lion's den. Obedience. Attitude. This is the first thing. The first thing. One of the reasons God, because he's so kind and merciful, will not speak to us is, if the king speaks, it is the law. And you disobey the law, there's only one penalty. So he won't speak to us. Because he knows he will not obey. He will not obey. Why was the kingdom taken away from King Saul? Because he didn't obey. So that's what the Bible talks. First is an attitude. James 4:10 will say, humble thyself, yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you. Peter will say, submit to God. Submit to God. Humble yourself in the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. The Bible says, first thing, humble yourself. Humble yourself. God is not going to humble you. It's a choice I have to make every morning. And that's why your prayer closet is the most important place in your life. Because those who don't pray are proud. Those who actually pray are telling God, without you, I cannot do anything. That is why Jesus' entire life is characterized by prayer. Early in the morning, when it is still dark, he will look for a deserted place and he will cry out to the Father. Why? Daddy, I've come here to do your will. Without you, I can't do this. That's why the first blessing in the kingdom is, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. First thing, submit to God. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And one of the ways in which we humble ourselves is sitting at in your prayer closet, seeking God's face. Second thing is, like sister prayed, sitting at his feet. You're seated in chairs, praise God, but in your heart you're seated at his feet. I listen, I believe, I will obey. See, that's why God told Martha, you know why you couldn't hear? And why could Mary could hear? Here am I, and you're worrying about eating? Here am I in your house taking a Bible study, and you didn't hear one word. But this one thing will not be taken away from her. One thing won't be taken away from. Humble yourself. Second thing, humble yourself before God and not man. Everybody is humble before man. SP's office, yes sir, yes sir, 3 bags full sir, whatever you say sir, yes sir, you are absolutely right sir. Everybody is humble before their boss. God did not say, I'm not saying you shouldn't be humble, you should be polite. But God says be humble before God. But when you're humble before God, people will misunderstand you. David makes all these great proclamations. The reaction is not what you expected. Go to 1 Samuel 17 and see. Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence. And God is saying, at least I found one humble man here. And the brother is saying, you're proud. That's why don't humble yourself before man. Humble yourself first before God. Because if you, when you humble yourself before God, people will call you. Because what is he doing? He's just aligning himself with what God has spoken. That is humility. What is humility? You said it, I receive it. North India, you say, no, Hazur, 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 Hazur. You said it, I receive it. You said it. I receive it. So when I say I refuse to fall sick, oh, he's proud. But the reason I say, because he took my sickness and his infirmity, he took it, why should I carry it? Only thing is that, Lord, I surrender myself. Use me for your glory. Oh, he's proud. Who does he think he is? He thinks, because God said, the true humility is agreeing with God, and he agrees. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? You know how he is truly humble? Because he doesn't pick a fight. What will we say? I know why you are so upset. On that day, you know, when Samuel came, you all got dressed and anointed, and he said, no, 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 I got the anointing. You are all jealous of me. He didn't say what? He didn't say a word. Because proud people will fight with Eliab. He didn't. He said, this is, I'm not fighting you. I'm fighting for you. Which husbands could tell their wives, no. And wives could tell their husbands, I'm not fighting you. I'm fighting for you. Is there not a cause? Do you know the cause? The cause is his name. The cause is his kingdom. The cause is his will. You're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting powers of darkness. That's a mindset. That's the attitude God is looking for before he can reveal his will to us. Things will change if you believe. Because before believing, Bible doesn't say believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says repent and believe. But to repent, you need humility. Only humble people can repeat, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, da. No, I'm not sorry. You are wrong. I'm always right. My way or the highway. But humble people will say, I'm at fault. Nehemiah will stand there before God and goes all the way till Adam. I am wrong, my father is wrong, my grandfather is wrong, great father, we all wrong. Now would you please do something with Jerusalem? Daniel also will do, and we are scratching our head to see what is wrong with Daniel. Are yesne galti kuch nahi ki, lekin sab galti maan rahe. Only humble people can do that. Because if you don't repent, you cannot believe. People are struggling with believing It's because not they hear, because they're not able to repent. And you know why they're not able to repent? Because they're proud. They're proud. Need to understand these things because we need to finish our race. There is no certificate in heaven called for participation. They're only for finishers. Yes, all will enter. And in the end, many more will enter. The Bible says they came through the tribulations. Meaning when they came through, head was off, head had to be put back there. Everyone got chopped. Why? Then they believed. Ayo, everything that we heard was true. We should have believed then. That's what the word is talking about. The mindset has to change. Mindset. Because the only thing that matters is the will of God. And to understand the will of God itself, I need my mind. That's what Romans 12:2 says. Do not conform to the pattern of the world or the anything in life. Now we are all educated, unlike the older generations. All our kids go to school and they have so many subjects. Any truth, fact, not truth, fact, in any subject you have received in life has to be tested with the word of God. Especially economics and commerce, because this world runs on money. Be careful. Be very careful because of two things Jesus said. One, he said, no man can serve two masters, and you are specifically talking about money. Two, he says, it's easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. So be very, very careful when you study economics, commerce, and the stock market. Your prayer should be this. Lord, the day you call me home, I should have given away everything. Because woe to you who have hoarded wealth in the last days, is the warning by James. In the last days. Be careful. Because on that day, even the sky fled before his face. That is where the privacy of scripture comes. Every sermon. Because where do you receive the will of God? In the volume of the book. Hebrews 10:7 is primary. Hebrews 10:7 says, in the volume of the book it is written about me. O Lord, I have come to do your will. Hebrews 10:7. Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written about me. So the simple question is this. If Jesus had to find his father's will in 39 books, where are you and I going to find his will? Outside this book? What is good for the goose is same for the gander too. You think we are going to find it outside the book? And yet this is the most neglected book in a Christian's life. Because they are looking for everything except the will of God. He found God's will in this. Where am I going to find God's will? That is why everything in the new covenant, everything outside the word of God, everything has to be tested by the authority of the word of God. Because scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away. Not a dot from my word. Because the one who spoke never changes. Therefore his words can never change. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. If he says something, it will happen. Therefore, the word of God. That's why we devote time to the word of God. That's why we put everything up there. Churches where I go over there, they put all the lyrics, all the songs, and when the preaching comes, there's no word. I said, what are you using? What did you invest this in for? For songs? Or for scripture? What is this for? What is this for? Why don't you put scripture there so that people don't bring their Bibles to the church? They don't have scripture and everybody is being entertained. For what? My words, he said, are spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. The word of God, everything.
outside of scripture, every prophecy. Test it with the word of God. Every dream, test it with the word of God. Every vision, test it with the word of God. Every experience, test it with the word of God. I may have an experience, but if it is not ratified by the word of God, I refuse to receive it. Because this is my final authority. It is written. That's how he said. He was there. Father said, this is my beloved son. He is asking if you are a son. You are hungry. You make these stones into bread. Later he will multiply bread, fish and everything. But the question is this. Is it ratified by my father? And the spirit takes him right to the Deuteronomy 8 and 3 says, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we love. Everything. Everything has to be brought. What does the word say about it? Because the devil can duplicate everything. He can give you a sickness and he can give you a healing. So that you believe in him. He can take your money away and give you money so that you believe in him. He can come and give a prophecy and come out 100% so that you follow him. What does the word say? But the prophecies in the Bible, there are prophecies. One third of the Bible is prophecy. The prophecies of the Bible is scripture. They cannot be broken. They cannot be broken. And so situation, kings, kingdoms, governments, times, nothing is matters. Just look at three of these things, the power of prophecy in scripture. Let's go to Matthew. I gave you, right? Matthew 2. And he was there. Who is this? Joseph, Mary, and Jesus is there in where? In Egypt. He was there that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet saying, out of Egypt I call my... Herod goes mad. He starts killing the babies. But prophecy is being fulfilled through the action of a madman. You look at Israel. Why didn't he go to Lebanon? Why didn't he go to Syria? Paul was going to Damascus, but Jesus had to go to Egypt. Why? Because it had to be fulfilled what Isaiah said, out of Egypt I call my son. So Egypt, the Israel that came out of Egypt was a shadow. The Jesus who came out of Egypt is the substance. So when God says, Israel is my firstborn, he's not talking about Israel, he's talking about Jesus. Verse 17 and 18. And it was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. He slaughtered the children under 2 years. But why is it happening? Even when it's happening, a prophecy by another prophet is being fulfilled, connected with Jesus Christ. Matthew 2:23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Joseph could have gone anywhere. Galilee, there are many cities. He went and dwelt in Nazareth. Why? So it might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. That is why on the Olivet Mount of Earth, it is not a discourse, it's a prophecy. Nation shall rise against nation. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom. There shall be famines and earthquakes and pestilences. Iniquity shall grow and the love of many shall grow cold. When you look at over there, hey, that's personal. Has my love grown cold? Do I love God? Do I love my wife? Do I love my children? Do I love my church? That's very personal. Because if I don't, I'm fulfilling a prophecy which I shouldn't fulfill. I'm fulfilling a prophecy I should not fulfill. Because it's not a discourse. It's a prophecy. That is Matthew 24:12. And 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the world, and the end shall come. No government can stop it. It has been spoken. It will be done. Whether you are a part of it, I am a part of it or not, it will happen. Why? It has been spoken. It has become scripture. Verse 14. This gospel of, that's how you read scripture. Because of the person who spoke it. You have to read it as if my life depends upon it, when it actually does. The power of scripture. When you bring faith to it, that is how the mind is renewed. That is how you do not conform to this world. I am in this world, but I am not part of it. Why? Because I am an ambassador. I am in India. The American ambassador, does he say that? Sergio, does he say that? I am in Delhi, but I am an Indian. No, he says, I am in India, but I am not an Indian. I am here to represent United States of America, their interests, not Indian interests. So when we are having an economic this thing and discussion about tariffs, I will bring America's interests here, not your interest. You talk to me your interest, but I will only speak my interest. I represent another country. The question is, when we go to our various places, whose interest do we represent? If I'm an ambassador from the kingdom of God, I represent his interests in this world. And the first thing I proclaim is, I'm in this world. I am not of this world. That's why when services finish over here and you go out, check the people how they are dressed and check our people how they are dressed. The minute they look at them, all the nuns tell me, Pastor, your church is different. We know it without hearing a word because we see how your people are dressed. Why? Because we belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom, you can wear whatever you want. But the rule is this. Be modest. Be modest. Because you represent a holy God. Now modesty in Sunday is one thing. Immodesty in Monday means you are not whole. You have to take it to your workplace. Take it to your workplace. That's where your witness is. Here we are family. We are not witnessing. We are family. We are fellowshipping. Witness begins tomorrow. Because you represent another kingdom. That's a renewed mind. All you have to do is consistently today's IT sector. After 7 days, somebody will come and says, why are you so old fashioned? You should say, my father's name is Ancient of Days. Be careful. This is all got to do with the word of God. Because all the battles are in the mind. It's all here. Your battles are not really outside. Problem is you took it inside. You keep it outside. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. What does Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord. He didn't say rejoice. You can't. Rejoice in the Lord. Meditate on him. What has he done for me? What is he preparing for me? Two things. All you have to think. What has he done for me? What is he preparing for me? You will rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident. When you talk, Hindi mein bolte aapki komalta. Number bolna. Karan ki uski agaman nasdik hai. When you're shouting at a boy, hey! And he comes. What will you got? Let your gentleness be evident. Why? He's near. Be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and supplication, make all your requests known to God. Why can I make it known to God? Because he cares for me. What does the Bible say? The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And after that, for the peace of God to be with you, think on these things. He gives you a list. You know what? Your problem is outside. It's not inside. You're not sinking. Like Peter did. As long as he kept his face on Christ, he was walking. But when he took it off, he started sinking. And lots of people are sinking because you took your eyes off what he has said. The problem is not your problem. The problem is your allowing. The problem is not the water around the boat. The problem is when the water enters the boat. That is when they said you don't care. Till then, water was outside and they were all singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's also sleeping. His motion is very nice. Let me sleep. Well, then the storm came. Then the water came. And then they said, we are dying. Don't you care? Why? the water came inside. Your problem is not your problem. Your problem is you are letting it in. Why do you let it in? Because you haven't learned how to resist the enemy. You don't know what he has done for you. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. A renewed mind thinks like God. And that is called faith. You know what faith is? I believe God. And I'll talk like him. Whatever he said, I believe. In Kerala, old days, these street meetings and all Pentecostal meetings, you had this person who preaches. It's called a Upadeshi. And then there is another fellow who will repeat what he has said. He's called Eight Upadeshi. Upadeshi and Eight Upadeshi. He will say, thus says the Lord. He will say, thus says the Lord. He will say, thus says. So people hear the same thing twice. You know what? We are all Eight Upadeshis. He said, I repeat. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. What he did, I speak. It's very simple. It's not complicated. But for that, you need to meditate upon the word day and night. Meaning, think on these things. Think on these things. And do not let it depart from your mouth. And be careful to do it. It's not complex. The gospel is very simple. Paul warns, do not be fooled by the enemy from the simplicity of the gospel. Law is very complex. Ask our lawyers, Deepika and Uday and all. Law is very complex. For one section, that we have 300 subsections. You can never keep income tax rules. They will find one loophole if they want to catch you. You think you can keep all the traffic rules? That's because you never read the book. If they want to catch you, they can catch you. And in between years, they change the laws and you don't even know it. For 1 year, they change it. I got a notice because in 1 year when we filed, they said in 2017, for 1 year, we changed the law. And we said, no, we filed. We have done everything. They said, yeah, but there's a problem with your filing. Because in that year, we changed the law. You didn't know. That's your problem. That's the problem with the law. So when you're meditating upon, you're meditating on a person. This is who he is. This is what he has spoken. And he will never lie. He will never lie. He's all powerful. He has seen the end from the beginning. And also, he's present everywhere. More than all that, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his exceedingly great love. Because you can have all this powerful person who doesn't lie, who is everywhere, who knows everything, who cares two hoots about you. We have many rulers like that who cares two hoots about the people. 5 years, once in 5 years they will come like that and forget. That is what Lincoln said. What is democracy? For the people, by the people, of the people. The truth is, 5 years later, for the people. Then you buy the people. Then once you get the chair, off the people. Our God says through the blood of my son, you who were far away, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, who you were without hope, he brought you close. We were far. He didn't buy us, he paid it with his blood. If we were not redeemed by gold or silver, but by the blood of God's own son, he brought us near. And not only he said, I have birthed you through my spirit. You are of me. And you, I am for you. If God is for you, then who can be against you? This is the person we are meditating on. This is dharam nahi. Ye rishta hai. Isa hai ki dharam nahi. Rishta hai. In one of the countries, underground churches, when the government sent notices to everybody who works in the government, write your religion, that was the problem. If you write Christian, you lose your job. So they came to me and said, Pastor, what should I do? I said, write nil. No religion. Why is the case of the pastor? No problem. We are in a relationship.
Does Abigail go ask her father, what is our religion? She says, you are my father. Is that a religion? So when he's called God, Godfather, is it a religion? Is it a religion? Religion has a set of laws. What are the set of laws you have? Jesus said, everything your father says is law. Man shall not live by the bread. Everything that comes out of the mouth of your father is law for you. You live by that. That's the law of the spirit. That sets you free from the law of sin and death. So it is all here. All the battles are here. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts against the knowledge of God. Why? Bringing every thought unto the captivity, not the knowledge of Christ, the obedience of Christ. You know that you have the knowledge. What you're hearing is the knowledge of Christ. You have, let us say, what affects everybody, Dabbu. Everybody, yesterday, half the pastors were Dabbu. All are poor, all are sick. Therefore, you have to keep telling them. But this is the kingdom of God, the knowledge of God. What is that? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Anything in the kingdom, that's a principle. If you want love, you have to give. My husband doesn't love me. Question is, do you love your husband? Because if you don't love your husband, you cannot receive it back. But that's how the kingdom works. No, I will wait till he loves me. It will never happen. But the kingdom works differently. Oh, nobody forgives me. Are you merciful? Because if you don't give mercy, you will not receive mercy. The kingdom works completely differently. It doesn't work according to the principles of this world. That is the knowledge of God. But then the knowledge of God has to become faith. Give. Well, Pastor, I have been giving for 10 years. It doesn't matter. Keep giving. Because it's a law. That's what your father said. Keep giving. Giving, giving, giving. What happens? One day, what happens one day? It will be given back to you. How? Pressed down, shaken together. That's what happened to Joseph. 13 years. Gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. So no returns. But gave and gave. One day. There's a Hebrew in the prison. Pharaoh wants to meet him. Pharaoh, yeah, come. Showered him, washed him, shaved him, everything. Put a new robe standing before the Pharaoh. What has happened? I had a dream. My God interprets dreams. He interpreted the dream. And then he gave counsel. Next testimony. This man speaks like the Spirit of God is within him. I don't find anybody better than him. He, in 1 minute, he is taken up and put in number two. Why? He kept on giving, pressed down, shaken together, pressed down, because he saw nothing but believed. That's how you do in life. Because the kingdom of God doesn't work like the stock market. I'm pulling out, because stock is falling. I will lose. Let me pull it out. You don't pull it out from the kingdom of God. What's the point in loving this man? What's the point in loving this woman? I get nothing back. Keep loving. But what happens if he never loves you? Doesn't matter. It's a kingdom rule. Why? If you do it, one day you will receive it. Pressed down, shaken together, twinkling of an eye. You are standing before God, and God looks at you and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're faithful in little things. Little things, what did you? You kept on loving your husband. Though he was unloving, I was watching you. Enter into my joy. Don't you know the greatest thing in the kingdom is love? And you passed with ace in that exam. Enter into my joy. Take charge of 10 cities. Because I want loving people to rule with me. Because you were transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of love. That's why you need to have eternity always in your mind. Don't look for temporary rewards. Always bring eternity in. That's a renewed mind. You know what I am doing it? Let me ask you this question. When Jesus died on the cross, nobody believed him. Nobody believed him. Including his mother, who had all these revelations. Why? Because on the third day, nobody was waiting for a resurrection. Though he told them, over and over and over and over again. On the third day I will rise. On the third day I will rise. You know who believed? The Pharisees believed. But it was not saving faith.
Now, demons also believe and they tremble. That does the Pharisees' faith. Nobody believed. Do you know that fact? Nobody believed, but he kept giving till his last moment and died by faith.
Look at the rewards. Look at the rewards. 2000 years later, God planted a seed in Jerusalem. It is bringing a harvest from the ends of the world and is sitting here.
That is how you look. That's the mind. Because the kingdom of God doesn't work like we think it is works. It's completely different. So be well educated.
But don't let reason block your faith. Because for educated people, the biggest block is reason. Because when God says something, they will bring physics, chemistry, economics, commerce, all this law. 5,000 men, women and children beside, let us feed them. Immediately economics comes in. Supply, demand, demand. 6 months wages won't be enough. Exactly right according to economics. Law of demand, supply. 5 loaves and 2 fish. How much can it feed? That is supply. Jesus said, you know what, just give it to me. And sit down. Kuchinde. Sit down. Which law is that? Where do you find in the wisdom of man a law like that? So everything has to be connected to God. How is David able to say prophetically, I was young, now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous beg bread? How is he able to say? Because he is going to the righteousness of God. He's going to the righteousness of God. Connected everything to God. Otherwise, we will just wander around. So our thoughts have to be brought down captive first to the knowledge of Christ and then to the obedience of Christ. And obedience is first demonstrated by words. Obedience is first demonstrated by words. And that is why God says every promise is yes in Amen in Christ Jesus. It is no. Therefore, what kind of people should you be? Should be people who your S is yes and no is no. After all these years, to get the church together at 9 a.m. Why? Because your S is maybe so. Why are you going to stand before God? Believe in His promises. You know, God tells Israel, you thought I was like you. Our problem is, we think God is like us because when we say yes, we don't mean it. So when God says yes, we don't believe it. Did you get what I said? If you get that what you said, you will understand why you struggle with faith. When I become a man of yes, yes, my yes is yes, my no is no, with the king and with the plumber, you tell me 10 o'clock, I will be there at 9:59. And that is who I am, and I become like that. When God says something, I can easily believe it because that's who I am. God is trying to make us like Him. We are trying to make God like us. This is our problem. That is why the first testimony of faith is through our words. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. See, in this realm in which we live, human realm and the spiritual realm, it's the words that reveal. The father goes and says, tells one son, do this. He will say, okay, I will go. And the father was happy because he said, I will go. But you know what happened? He didn't go. But because he said, he had hope. The other one said, I will not go. So the father had no hope. But he went. The first thing is revealed by words. Come here. Come here, Abigail. Abigail. I've carried her as a baby. Now she's taller than me. What can you do? I stopped growing long ago. No? How many couples stood here like this? until death do part. And what happened? That is what gave hope. Why are you hopeless now? Because you didn't mean what you said. Did you mean what you said? That is our problem. At that time, that is why the first moon to set is the honeymoon. It sets very fast. You know why? It is not the problem. The problem is when you say something, mean it. Otherwise, don't say it. Why? God is making us just like Him. Just forsaking all others. Yeah, I forsook all others, but I didn't mean my phone. On that day, I didn't tell I will leave my phone, so I've forsaken everybody, but my phone is with me. The phone is a problem. People don't realize where their struggles are. It's all here. All here. Everything is here. Bring it all to the obedience of Christ. Before he transited from one realm to another realm, he told his father, we don't know when it is told because it is written in the book of Hebrews, it is not found in the Gospels. He said, Father, in the volume of the book it is written about me, I have come to do your will. He said it and entered into humanity, and now he's struggling. Father, would you take this cup away from me? Then he says, No. I'm a man of my word, not my will, but your will be done 3 times. Not my will, your will. Why? Because my yes is yes. I know what's going to happen. Physically, humanly, I know what is going to happen. I'm going to be beaten, stripped, shamed, the cross. It's hanging there, all that. But that's not what. I know you will turn my face away from me. I will die the death of a sinner, though I am no sinner. That is why he's crying. But did he break his word? He didn't. Telling you serious things of life. This is how the mind has to work. Go back. God will bring to your memory. That's my, not Modi's guarantee. My guarantee to the church always has been stay within these four walls. We are there for you. You leave, I'm not responsible. You stay. From birth till your burial, we are with you. And we have stood with people. Because that's my word. You know why? Because that's what my God said through Isaiah. From your birth to your gray hairs, I'm the God who carries you through. Believe me. Because God is truth. Spirit is truth. Word is truth. The church is called to be the foundation and the pillar of that same truth. Be that mind. That mind. This is the word of God. This is the truth. Let your mind be saturated by how God thinks, how God functions, how God speaks. Because he is birthing himself. He's birthing himself. This is all his children. He's birthing himself. He's conforming us all to the image of one son. Are you tired? How can you be tired? I'm the one who's preaching, right? Think. Think on these things. Can I have the worship team? Let's sing. Let's worship for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. One good thing about winter is the fans are off. So I can hear if somebody snores. That's what I told one of the pastors yesterday. There were two speakers yesterday, one me and you from the middle. I could hear you snoring. Come. We'll stand. We'll worship God for 5 minutes. Father, this morning, we come to you once again by the blood of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus. Your word says God has made a living way into his very presence by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore we have boldness. Because the blood speaks for us. It doesn't speak against us. The blood says we are your children. The blood says we have been set free to obey and to fulfill the will of the Father. The blood says we were healed. That you took our infirmities and our diseases upon yourself. And by your stripes 2,000 years ago, we were healed. The blood speaks, the body for the Lord and the Lord for the body. The blood says we have the mind of Christ. Therefore this morning we surrender once again, O God. If we surrender, you are faithful to do it. Because your word says at the appearance of Jesus Christ, God will sanctify our spirit, soul and body and present it to himself blameless, O God. So as an act of faith this morning, all of us here, Father, we surrender our whole self, O God. Because the greatest command is to love you with all our heart, with all our mind. May our mind be filled with the knowledge of the living God and with faith and with the hope of salvation, O God. Bless your people. May your hand rest upon them. Everyone, Lord. The God who said, I watch over your going out and coming in. You brought us all safely. And I believe you will reach all home safely. You said you are blessed when you go out. You are blessed when you come in. We believe it and we speak it. I was blessed because I came. And I'm going back home blessed to be a blessing to many. May your presence be our portion through this week. Wherever you take us, wherever you keep us, help us to be a witness of the life of Jesus Christ. For it is written, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. May your life shine through us, O God. To that end, O God, we as a church, offline and online, we surrender ourselves into thy hands, O God. To that end, Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, would you quicken our mortal bodies, O God, that we live our lives before you for the glory of the Son, O God. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each one of us. Amen, amen, amen. God be with you.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love